jazz pianist Edward Simon moved to the U.S. from Venezuela in his teens, got started playing with Herbie Mann and Paquito de Rivera, joined the Terrence Blanchard Group in 2002, and recently signed on with the SF Jazz Collective. Along the way, Edward Simon has helmed various projects as a band leader, and recently he's received raves as a composer for his Venezuelan Jazz Suite, written on a commission from Chamber Music America. This is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara Lawrence, and tonight, Edward Simon visits with Keith Hall, host of WMUK's Jazz Currents and a professor of jazz at Western Michigan University. They're in the Takeda studio at WMUK, where Mr. Simon, a visiting artist at Western Michigan University, sits at the Yamaha Grand with a set of tunes in his pocket and some stories to tell. Here's Keith Hall and Edward Simon.
Edward, you've had just amazing experiences so far in your life, and you have a great deal of success so far in your career. You've won many awards, composer grants, and already you've produced a large body of work. And you're a band leader as well as a sideman on other projects. Somehow, you're able to juggle all this and contribute so much here at Western Michigan University, as we're really fortunate to have you here on campus. It's a pleasure to have you here on the show today. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, Keith. Thanks for having me.
So you're originally from Venezuela, and I wonder if you could talk about how you started playing piano and how you made the transition from Venezuela to the U.S.
Sure. Well, I grew up in a family of musicians. I have two brothers who are both musicians, were professional musicians for most of their lives, and my sister was first to start with piano before me. She's older than me. Eventually, she gave up the piano and decided to study speech therapy. But in more recent years, she has gone back to music, and so now, you know, we're all musicians now.
Wow.
And that was really an influence of my father, I have to say. He was never a professional musician, but he loved playing guitar and singing. He doesn't do it as much these days, but, you know, his passion for music, he really communicated, instilled that in all his children and supported our careers, our, you know, desire to study music and to become professional musicians. So I owe a lot to him for that. I came to the United States first when I was 12. The main reason we came at that time was because my sister was pursuing her college education. So I grew up in Venezuela playing what would be considered popular music there, which is very different from popular music here. It was dance music, the styles of the Caribbean that we're more familiar with, salsa, merengue, boleros. Boleros, by the way, was formed a large part of my upbringing, again, because of my father. He had a great passion for boleros, Latin love songs, and in fact had a group with some of his friends, a trio, where they just, during the gatherings, they would get together and sing boleros all night. And my dad would ask me to accompany him sometimes, and I did so not really understanding what those pieces were about so much, you know, at that age, and not necessarily liking all of them that much either. But as I've grown older, I've learned to appreciate those pieces more. And in fact, I recorded some of those pieces with a wonderful singer, a friend of mine in New York, Leonardo Granados, and we hope that one day that will be available to the public as well in the future. So boleros was really formed a strong part of my musical upbringing in the beginning. But it wasn't until I came to the United States at age 12 that I started studying classical music and taking piano lessons for the first time.
And then when were you exposed to jazz then? When did you start that?
Jazz, I was exposed right around the same time, right before I moved to the United States, around 11, age 11. The first true jazz that I heard, and by that I mean jazz that wasn't mixed in with another style of music, was through a video recording of all things, a celebration of Nancy Reagan's birthday at the White House. And someone in our hometown managed to get a hold of a recording of that event. Back then, it was on VHS.
Right, right.
And that had performances, that event had performances by the great Dizzy Gillespie and Stan Getz. And back in those days, in Stan's band was Chick Corea playing piano.
Wow.
You know, I think it might have been Stanley Clark on bass. So it was an eye-opener, you know. We didn't really have access to many jazz recordings in Venezuela at that time. And still, probably today, we don't have that much access to a great deal of jazz recordings. So that video was an eye-opener for me. And it was immediately something I felt very attracted to and knew I wanted to learn more about. But besides that, I was introduced to jazz, where I first heard jazz sound through the music of other bands that were incorporating jazz into their music, particularly the music of Irakere from Cuba. Those guys were a very strong influence in my early days. So that's how I discovered jazz, in a sort of roundabout way at first, and then this video was really an eye-opener.
You went to college here for music, correct?
Yes.
Where did you... went to the Manhattan School, is that correct?
I did for a very short period, but really most of my studies, undergrad studies, I did at the University of the Arts in Philadelphia. I studied with Susan Starr. I was a classical major, but really... In terms of ensemble playing, I was much more active in the jazz department. I knew all along that really jazz was what I was interested in professionally, but I also knew that I needed to learn about classical music and get a very strong foundation pianistically. I had both those interests going on at the same time.
Then in 1994, you recorded your first album as a leader, right? Beauty Within. And then a year later, you did your second record, which was aptly titled Edward Simon.
Yeah.
And that record highlighted some compositions, mostly by you, but then also two Venezuelan composers. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, in Venezuela, I didn't really grow up playing Venezuelan music. For whatever reason, the musicians who played Venezuelan music were a certain particular group of musicians. It was more the folk musicians. And I was more interested in playing dance forms of popular music that came from all around, from the Caribbean, from Cuba and from Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Brazil, Argentina. But it wasn't really until I moved to New York when I joined Paquito de Rivera's group, his quintet, that I, for the first time, learned to play a Venezuelan waltz, because it was part of his repertoire. So I found myself in a situation where I had to learn Venezuelan music, and being the only Venezuelan in the ensemble, it was quite a responsibility. So he, in a way, planted a seed in me, or watered a seed, because you could say the seed was there already. And I became interested in the music of my homeland. And sure enough, in almost all of my recordings since this recording that you've mentioned, my second one, I have arranged you can see a Venezuelan folk piece there. Always arranged for jazz ensemble until my very last effort, which we'll talk about at some point. But this particular, on that record, there are two songs which are very important songs. One of them is Alma Llanera, which is like considered by some like the national anthem, the national song of Venezuela, because it's so well known that they play it everywhere. And I decided to arrange it for the quartet, which featured Mark Turner on tenor and Adam Cruz on drums and Larry Grenadier on bass. But another very important singer-songwriter from Venezuela, perhaps the most well-known Venezuelan singer-songwriter, is Simon Diaz. He's contributed so much to the genre. It's you would have to dedicate a whole show to just talk about that. But I decided to arrange one of his most popular and recorded pieces, which has been recorded by all kinds of artists, the Gypsy Kings, Ray Conniff, Julio Iglesias. I mean, everyone has recorded this song, but no one had, to my knowledge, done a jazz rendition of it. And it's a song that speaks about, the lyrics talk about when an older man falls in love with a much younger woman, about a 20 years age difference I'm speaking of. And it's a really, really beautiful song and a beautiful lyrics. And I, of course, recorded, arranged it, did an instrumental arrangement of it for the quartet. So that song is called Caballo Viejo, which means old horse.
Could you play that? Let's hear that.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
What a beautiful tune.
Yeah, it's a very powerful tune for sure. I seem to never get tired of playing it. It's really one of those pieces that the more you let yourself open up to it, the more it has to give.
Yeah, and it's something I've been really noticing about your playing over the years is that you're a really patient player, and it never feels forced with you, and that's kind of what I get is you kind of open yourself up to the music, and just let it flow and just kind of let the music take you. You know, it's beautiful because so many of us musicians, you know, a lot of times we force things. You know, we try to get everything in, and it's so refreshing to just hear that. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Edward, you mentioned the influence of Irakire and Cuban music. And on your third album, you recorded this very important tune, very popular tune, The Peanut Vendor. Could you tell us about the significance of that tune and why you recorded it?
The Peanut Vendor is one of those pieces that is so well known. Everyone in Latin America knows The Peanut Vendor, and probably here in the U.S. too. It actually became popularized here in the U.S., I think, around the 40s or so. I mean, it's a very old tune. And I have been hearing it for, you know, ages. But I heard Chucho Valdez, who's the musical director and pianist for Irakere, play it solo one time, solo piano, and was really taken by his rendition of it. And since then, I started playing the tune myself and you know, arranged it for my ensemble, for a larger ensemble. But it's just one of those tunes that is simple, yet has a lot there to work with. And it's written in the style of a son, which is one of the most important genres that have come out of Cuba. So I played around a little bit with it. The meter, changed the meter around, as I often do with the tunes that I decide to work with and arrange. So, yeah, we'd love to play it for you.
Yeah, it'd be great. Thank you. yeah. If I was a dancer, I would have danced, but I was moving a lot in my chair. That was great.
Oh, thank you.
And that wasn't in the standard 4/4 time signature. That was in 5/4, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I think Chucho's version might have been in 5/2. And I really, really liked that a lot. So, I kind of build on that.
Chucho Valdez.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not sure right now if he played it in 5 or in 4, but it's just one of those things that feels very naturally in 5.
Yeah, it does. It didn't. I wasn't sure it was an odd time signature at first. It flowed so great, and then I started counting. I realized, hey, this is in 5, but it feels like so natural, like you say. Well, you're a multilingual musician in every sense. You've brought us the sounds, of course, of Venezuela and Cuba and embrace the sounds of North America. And also you brought us some sounds from Ireland. I know on a record you recorded in 2010, it included some jazz standards, but also some Irish folk songs. How did you arrive at that?
Well, over the years, I have, of course, had the opportunity to travel all around the world, many, many places, Europe and Asia, and through those travels, I formed a lot of ties to some of these places I've been to. I've met a lot of very wonderful people, great musicians, artists, and made a lot of great friends. And Ireland is one of those places where I feel I have a fairly strong tie to. I've done a lot of touring there. I've met a lot of great musicians. One drummer in particular, Stephen Keogh, who's from Ireland, who I've been collaborating with or playing with for a number of years. He's a good friend, and we decided we would make this recording very spontaneously. I happened to be in Europe, and I was doing some teaching in Italy, and he said, well, after the seminar, why don't we go to the studio and just lay down some tracks? And he invited this bass player, Philip Duncan, a British bassist. We just went in the studio with not much rehearsal, really, no rehearsal at all. Right there in the studio, we decided which tunes we would play. And I thought it would be nice to do some Irish songs. Of course, I had never played Irish music. So I asked my friend, the drummer, if he would show me some of these pieces, and there he was singing some of these pieces to me. And I had heard some of them before, of course, like Danny Boy, for example, which is one that has been recorded by many great artists, and Bill Evans has done it, and right. It's one of those perfectly beautiful songs that you couldn't change one note to it.
Yeah, right.
So I'd love to just play that for you. It's on the record, it's a trio rendition, of course, but this is my arrangement of Danny Boy.
Yeah, you're right. It's a perfect song. You can't change anything.
Really, it's just one of those. Whoever wrote that must have really been deeply in touch with the message, because it's so pure that it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's the most perfect melody, I think, as I've heard it described that way. It's the most perfect melody.
Yeah, pure, that's a good word, too.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Pure. It's just absolutely beautiful.
Well, it's really a treat to hear you just as a solo today on the piano. I'm used to hearing you a lot in ensembles, because you played in so many different types of ensembles. You write for various instrumentations, and of course you're a prolific composer. And I know that you received a couple of composer grants from Chamber Music America, and one of those produced this new album, right? The Venezuelan Suite. Maybe you could tell us about that, and I'd love to hear something from that.
Absolutely. In 2005, I received a grant from Chamber Music America to write a piece that basically embodies my effort to consolidate my heritage with my experiences as a jazz musician and my love for classical music. As I explained before, until that point, I had only arranged Venezuelan folk songs and adapted them to a jazz setting. But in this piece, I tried to delve more deeply into my heritage and actually write pieces that were based on the various musical genres. I chose the four main musical genres of Venezuelan music, the ones that I think are most predominant, which are the Venezuelan waltz and the gaita, which is a traditional form of music played during Christmas time, and joropo, which is our national rhythm, merengue, which is a more urban rhythm in 5/8, very syncopated, and that's originally from the city, from Caracas, I think. So I like to play for you perhaps the waltz movement of my Venezuelan suite, which, by the way, was just released on Sunnyside Records a month ago. And so it's a record that features an ensemble that I formed specifically for writing this piece, and the piece is written for that ensemble. They are called Ensemble Venezuela. Features Mark Turner, Adam Cruz, many of the same musicians that I've been collaborating over the years. But in addition to them, some excellent Venezuelan folk musicians, the best Venezuela has to offer these days, I think. Wow. Roberto Koch is a great bassist from Venezuela, who's very well respected among folk musicians. Jorge Glenn plays the cuatro. He's a virtuoso cuatro player. Leonardo Granado plays maracas, which is a very prominent instrument in Venezuelan folk music, as is the flute. So I have Marco Granados, who plays flute on the record. He's a wonderful classical flutist who has steeped himself very deeply in the tradition of Venezuelan music as well. And there's a special guest, Edmar Castaneda, who plays the harp, too. The harp is also a very important instrument in our music in Venezuela. So this is the third movement of my Venezuelan suite, and is called Mérida, which is a city in the Andes. Every movement is named after a different city, Venezuelan city.
Edward Simon, thank you for taking us to Venezuela with the Venezuelan Suite. It's really been amazing to have you perform in the studio here with us today, and we're looking forward to working with you a lot more here at Western Michigan University and having you share your music with the students here and the community. And I just want to thank you so much for being here on the show with us today.
It's my pleasure, Keith. Thanks for having me.
Keith Hall spoke with the award-winning jazz pianist and composer Edward Simon in the Takeda studio at WMUK. Keith Hall is host of WMUK's Jazz Currents and a professor of music at Western Michigan University. Edward Simon is a visiting guest artist at Western Michigan University. Expect to see him on the music schedule next fall. His album, Venezuelan Suite, just released, is now available through iTunes, Amazon, and his website, edwardsimon.com. We're listening now to one of the movements from the Venezuelan Suite called Barinas. I'm Kara LaRance, host of WMUK's Let's Hear It. Thanks to our sound engineer tonight, Martin Clem. Hope you have a great weekend and tune in again to Let's Hear It on WMUK Kalamazoo, Music, NPR, Local Arts and News from Western Michigan University.